Good morning and greetings in Jesus' name. That's the reason we're here. Just, I know I said it before, but I say it again. God is good all the time. And all the time, God is good. I guess I was just in awe as we were going through the lesson and just thinking about the magnitude of God. But then I was in awe again of just as we were, as Adrian was praying there for the Miller family, Brent and Marilyn. And we don't always know why things happen the way they do, but God is still good. And can we hold on to that, that God is still good? And I don't know, my mind is just thinking even of the ordinations that happen, is happening, and that will happen, Lord willing. And that God is still good. And He knows and is orchestrating each situation perfectly for His honor and His glory. And thinking of the ordination of the future, God is there already in that situation working it out. And He is good. And can we hold on to that? Well, this morning, it's a little bit bigger a message, but it's still going to be a two-part message. I was going to bring it last Sunday, but God decided differently, and I was a little bit thankful for that. It was a huge week. I was off for Minister's Week at SMBI, and then was that just last Saturday, I guess, in the sale of that property there, and there was different things happening. Caden hurt his foot. I wanted to ask for prayer for that, and I forgot. He sprained his ankle really bad, and it swelled up, and he's been off school all week, and my wife's at home taking care of that. And anyways, I'm not sure why I'm getting totally emotional with that, but it's a lot. And so remember that. So anyways, there was a lot going on, and when it snowed there Sunday morning, I'm like, well, I'll have some more time here to get a little bit more ready for this. And it's a two-part message. It stemmed several months ago. I started a book called The Way of the Shepherd. And as I started into it, listening to it through Audible, and it just hit me. So this morning's message, I don't know if I totally feel adequate because I see so much need of growth in my life. So this message, I'm speaking to myself, and I've been praying for the heart of the shepherd for my own life. But I decided to bring this two-part message because what we're facing here in a few weeks is ordination. And my heart cry goes out that as different of us have responsibilities like this here, that we can have that responsibility with the heart of the shepherd, Jesus. And so I title this one and next Sunday again, The Heart of a Shepherd. And I don't want to look at this simply in the wrong way as we all are a bunch of sheep and, we're just a bunch of animals. But Scripture does compare sheep, compare us as His children, as sheep. And we're part of His flock. And so I hope we can look at it in the right way. I'm doing a little bit of comparing sheep to us as sheep, but their comparisons do break down, okay? So I hope you can bear with me on that. But it was intriguing. So I'll be honest with you, I don't know much about sheep. So there's people here this morning that know a lot about sheep. And if I get something wrong, forgive me. I was bringing some of these comparisons out of the book that I was listening to, and it seems logical, but I do have some questions right from the beginning, and of what are some facts about sheep. And I will open it up to you all. What are some facts about sheep? Just sheep, the animal sheep. Not thinking of the church sheep, but sheep in general. What are just some facts about them? Some things I learned, and I kind of maybe knew this first one a little bit, that sheep are flock oriented. They are in groups. They realize, I guess, through their instincts that there's safety in numbers. There are strong bonds that I understand are created in sheep, in the flocks of sheep. I understand that they follow each other. I might be glancing over this way a little bit sometimes when I say some of these things, just to see if I notice a shaking of the head to make sure some of this is right. But this is just some things I had looked up as I thought about sheep and studied into it a little bit. Is there some other things that are facts about sheep?
They wake up every morning and figure out how to kill themselves.
Okay, maybe some comparisons do break down here. that's one thing I read, that a lot of people think that sheep are dumb. But there's one thing I will mention here a little bit later, that sheep can be pretty smart in some things. They can be self-destructive sometimes, huh? But you know what? Maybe that doesn't totally break down for us either sometimes. Even though we are God's children, sometimes left on our own, we can be self-destructive. But anyways, that's just a fact about sheep there. We'll get more into spiritualizing this in a little bit here. Just real quickly, is there anything else? I'll bring another one I had here. Sheep love habits, routines. That's what I've read. I never had sheep, but they do have love, just habits and routines. I label that comfort zones. Maybe that's how they don't think about it, but they're comfortable in their routines and habits. That can be spiritualized a little bit. Anything else that comes to your mind?
We have three that are following me right now.
Okay. Yeah.
And
yeah.
Of course, we had to find the kind of hump of deer running into the mechanic shop there. And here's Nate and Jim, because the first thing they actually realized were sheep.
Yeah.
Because they didn't always fed by
it. Yeah.
I
could, my mind was right away. But that's the fact about sheep. They gravitate towards where they think their food source is. One thing I didn't put it on here, but I don't know if it's true or not, so I'll look over here again, but they say sheep can self-medicate, like they know where they can find food to eat that can actually help them feel better. I don't know, but they know where their food source is, and so they gravitate towards that. But boy, can't we do that sometimes too? Somebody's helping us, so we can latch onto that person, and really we need to be latching onto God, the ultimate source. I'll just give another one here. Sheep respond well to strong, confident leaders. I was never a shepherd, but sheep do follow their shepherds, I understand. They know the shepherd's voice. The Bible is clear about that. So strong, confident leaders, they say sheep can follow them. If there's another one, just holler it out. I just have several more here. I just want to get through it here quickly. But sheep are very dependent. So they're dependent on, they're on, like Adrian said, that food source there. They're dependent on, I understand that sheep can roll over and can't get back up again, so they need the shepherd. Is that true? I think I've heard that different times in life. They're very dependent. Sheep can tend to stray and get lost if not shepherded or if they're left to their own. I think I worded that a little bit wrong. If they're left on their own, they can tend to stray and get lost. That's just a fact about sheep. You can be comparing this as you go along here to our lives. Sheep have good memory. Now, this was interesting. They say that they can remember faces for a number of years. So they were remembering a human that was feeding them. They said that they can remember faces for a number of years. I'd never tested that out. I don't know if that's true. I thought that was just interesting, in fact, about a sheep. Anyways, whatever that's worth, I just thought that was interesting. But anyways, just as we think about sheep in the animal realm, we can see that they're in need. We also, just looking at our own lives, we can see that we're people of need. But as we think, and they're in need of a shepherd. The Bible is clear, and I think we'll read that here shortly in John, that a hireling, the sheep will tend to run away from a hireling because the hireling doesn't truly care for them. And the hireling will run when there's danger because he don't truly care for the sheep. So we're thinking this morning the heart of the shepherd. A definition of a shepherd, simply as we're thinking about sheep in general, just the animal world of sheep. What is the definition of a shepherd? I didn't put this on the screen, but it says simply a person who tends, herds, and guards sheep. That's just what he does. He tends to sheep. He cares for them. He herds them. He guards them. That's what the shepherd's job is in the animal world of caring for sheep. Now, let's just start flipping this here a little bit into where we're at today as a church. So can our calling be the same in the spiritual sense? Can it? I would like to just take it a little bit further. Yes, it does. But, I put that word but in there, it's even more and it's deeper. Because we have a responsibility for people. We are more than just simply animals. We are people with a living, never dying soul. And it goes a whole lot further than the animal. But we can find a lot of comparisons, a lot of similarities. And also because they have the Holy Spirit. I believe we can define it as simply a shepherd. The heart of a shepherd is a person who lovingly, caringly, and respectfully tends, guides, feeds, and guards the sheep while leading them to Jesus. I just want you to look at that. That picture brings some emotions to me because obviously it's supposed to be a picture of Jesus. But as we think about a heart of a shepherd, this phrase kept coming to me time and again, and I'm going to repeat it probably several times in this message this morning, is you or we can't have the heart of a shepherd until you or we met the heart of the shepherd. We can be talking, we can have all the knowledge this morning of how a shepherd tends his sheep and cares for them. But we cannot truly have the heart of the shepherd until we have met the heart of the shepherd. I've put that in capital letters because I want that to refer to Jesus, our Father God this morning. That we cannot care, we cannot lead, we cannot work out of our responsibilities of shepherding until we have met the shepherd. And as I started listening to that book, and then as I was preparing this morning, my heart's cry is, God, change my heart. Because I see so much need of growth in this area. Even though I have been ordained for, I think it's 8 years, 8 years now, I have so much more need of growth in this idea of shepherding. And having the heart of a shepherd. So I'm, again, tell you that I am preaching to myself this morning. If you want to turn to John 10, I'm going to read 15 verses out of there, but I'm going to also have it up here this morning also. And I have it here in the NLT, and I put that way because I like the wording of it. KJV speaks it well. I read it all my days in KJV, But I just felt like it just put some extra words in here in our everyday language that just, I felt like it helped a lot. I tried to get a picture of something that I can, you can see the wording, but I wanted something that was the heart of the shepherd can bring beauty and can bring calmness. And I choose my picture sometimes, I don't always, but I try to put things that go along with. And yeah, as I said, I don't always get that accomplished, but I wanted that other picture originally, but it didn't show up because I felt like that really spoke John 10 very well. Jesus said he was the great shepherd, the chief shepherd. But I felt like this one here showed a picture of calmness and beauty and peace. So John 10 says, I tell you the truth. Anyone who sneaks over the wall of a sheepfold, rather than going through the gate, must surely be a thief and a robber. But the one who enters the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep recognize his voice and come to him. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. Can you see the picture that Jesus is speaking here of the shepherd? It's so personal, so connected with his sheep. There is a relationship that is happening. There is safety. There is security. Just so much speaking out of these words here. After he has gathered his own flock, he walks ahead of them, and they follow him because they know his voice. They won't follow a stranger. They will run from him because they don't know his voice. Verse 6, those who heard Jesus use this illustration didn't understand what he meant. So he explained it to them. I tell you the truth, I am the gate for the sheep. All who come before me were thieves and robbers, but the true sheep did not listen to them. Yes, I am the gate. Those who come in through me will be saved. They will come and go freely and will find good pastures. The thief's purpose is to steal and kill and destroy. My purpose is to give them a rich and satisfying life. I am Jesus saying, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd sacrifices his life for the sheep. A hired hand will run when he sees the wolf coming. The KJV uses the word harrowing. But he will abandon the sheep because they don't belong to him and he isn't their shepherd. And so the wolf attacks them and scatters the flock. The hired hand runs away because he's working only for money and doesn't really care about the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and they know me, just as my Father knows me, and I know the Father. So I sacrifice my life for the sheep. I have other sheep too. Well, that's verse 16. I'll stop there at verse 15. We see here that Jesus is talking about he is the good shepherd. First Peter, I'll come back to that here shortly, but First Peter 5:2 also talks about this. We are considered as shepherds of God's church. We are considered under shepherds. We are not the chief shepherd. We are working out of his example and training. He is the chief shepherd, and we should always be pointing others back to the great shepherd. First Peter 5:2 says, care for the flock that God has entrusted to you. Watch over it willingly, not grudgingly, not for what you will get out of it, but because you are eager to serve God. Don't lord over it the people assigned to your care, but lead them by your own good example. And when the great shepherd appears, you will receive a crown of never-ending glory and honor. For those that are called to having a responsibility of deacon or pastoring or whatever label you want to put on it, We are just simply under shepherds. Our Father God is the great shepherd. And our goal and our calling is to always point back to the great shepherd. And that is Jesus. We see here that there is care needed. We see in this verse there in 1 Peter that they're entrusted to us. As we think about working in a church setting, this isn't my church. This isn't Curtis's church. This isn't the church for the one that's going to be called here in a few weeks. This is God's church. And He's entrusting this into our responsibility to feed God and under shepherd you all, under God's watchful care. And it's something that we need to, us as in ministry, we must always keep in mind that this isn't about us. This isn't about our agenda. This isn't about what name or what numbers or what reputation. It's about, is God receiving honor and glory? I like this verse here out of Jeremiah 3:15. And that is a promise. I will give you pastors according to mine heart, which shall feed you with knowledge and understanding. This is where I believe the heart of the shepherd is why I titled it this way. Because of this, this verse brings it out very well. Knowledge and understanding. God is giving a promise here, and I believe that we were just praying for that here over the prayer time, that God, you work in the ordination. You place a man that you want there. And God is saying, I will give you pastors according to mine heart. The heart of the shepherd, that goes together. God is saying, I have a heart of shepherding sheep, and I want to give you a man that will have my heart. And he will feed you. I have that underlined. I didn't underline that. I have it underlined on my papers. With knowledge and understanding. When you have knowledge and understanding, you're having info. Okay? You're seeing needs. You're seeing people. You're seeing good. You're seeing maybe not so good. You're seeing abounding. Maybe you're seeing stuck. You're seeing things. You have knowledge. But, I put that word but in there. But, realizing the why. You have knowledge, but you have understanding. And I believe that's where the heart of the shepherd, when a shepherd is working with a flock of sheep, he sees the sheep. He sees the good. He sees the ugly. He sees the great. He sees he sees that, but he understands why. He learns the why. The past. The why comes out of the past, the present, or the path forward. Hearing the background, the story, the journey, we need to possess knowledge and understanding, not simply the mechanics, but understanding the combustion, the why. What is feeding this? The why. We're not just simply an organization. We as a body here this morning is an organism. We are holding the life of our great God in our hearts. So it's more than just simply an organization and mechanics. I say again, we can't have the heart of a shepherd until we have met the heart of the shepherd. Lead them in a way that they want to follow. As we read there in John 10, the sheep follow because they have security and trust. They have a relationship with the shepherd. So as underlying shepherds, we need a relationship, but ultimately, you need a relationship with our Father God as the great shepherd. So number one here, in thinking about this here, is know the condition of your flock. Newman was the man with the sheep herd, and he was training a young man that was going through college. This Newman was also a teacher in college, and Ted was the man that was in college taking a class on managing. He was supposed to become a manager of a certain division in a business, and he was going to have a number of people working under him, and he wanted to learn well managing people. So Newman was a teacher, and Newman took him, this Ted, under his wings, or mentored him, you could say, in how to manage. And the first lesson, the first Saturday they met together, Ted came out to Newman's place, and Newman said, "Hey, come with me, hop in the car, we're going out. I want to look over my flock of sheep, my herd of sheep." So they drove out to where the sheep were. And Ted was thinking, why? Okay, I mean, whatever. If he wants to go tend his flock first, that's fine. But I want to get on learning how to manage sheep, or manage a business, manage the people he was supposed to be managing. He wants to learn the knowledge of it. They went out. And Newman said, "I'd like to check on my flock of sheep, my herd of sheep." Is it herd or flock? Flock. Okay. I was reading both as I was studying. I want to check on my flock of sheep. So they got to the sheep pasture where they were. Now, when they came up to this corral or this pasture of sheep, they didn't just drive up and stay sitting in their car and looked in. "Yeah, they look pretty decent. I think they're all right. I believe, yeah, I think most of them are there. Probably all of them are. It looks like they're pretty eating, pretty decent. Just fewer nibbling, fewer walking around. It looks like the pasture fence is pretty decent. I don't really see any poisonous weeds growing up," and then drive off. No, Newman, when they got to their pasture, they got out of the car, they parked the car, invited Ted to come with him. They went into the pasture, into where all the sheep were. They walked amongst the sheep, and they looked all over the sheep. They looked at them. "Yeah, looks pretty good. The hair's combed pretty nice." No. They looked over the sheep. They saw what was happening inside of that pasture. He counted them. He made sure that they were all there. He checked in with them, make sure there was no maimed ones, no crippled ones. They made sure that there was no flies or bugs hanging around any sores. If there was any sores, they treated that. They made sure that the sores were healing. Even I heard that they check for flies that go up into the sheep's nostrils sometimes and get in their brain. I don't know. I guess that's true. They made sure that the sheep were in good care. Then they looked over the pasture. They made sure that no poisonous weeds were growing up that will harm the sheep. They checked the fences. They made sure that the fences were secure. They got in amongst them and were part of them. This verse here, I'm guessing, could be more in the context of actual literal business, knowing the state of your flocks and put your heart into caring for your herds. But it can be applied to church life. The heart of a shepherd. Know your flock. Newman wanted to know his flock. I believe it can be applied to church life because of this very verse here. "Take heed, therefore, unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost has made you overseers, to feed the church of God which he hath purchased with his own blood." Newman purchased that flock of sheep that he was caring for with his money, with his life, with his tangible things. We all here at the church this morning are the sheep of God's pastures. And he purchased us with his very own blood. He has a lot at stake here because he has entrusted this as human beings. And that's why it's very important, the first part of this Acts 20:28. What do I have underlined there? Starts right here in my own heart and with each one of our hearts as ministry. And to the one that's called, where is your heart? What has your heart? The Bible talks a lot about guarding our hearts. Because out of that we live. We make decisions. We think. We process. We do because of what's in our hearts. As under shepherds, we need to be aware of our own heart, our motives, and our purposes. Then we can properly care. I title the message, The Heart of the Shepherd. Do we have the heart of the shepherd? I believe that we can see the heart of the shepherd here in this first section is that he longs to be in among his sheep, to be a part of their lives, not distant, not observing from far, not lording over, controlling and dictating, but loves interaction with the people God put in his life. I believe the heart of the shepherd we can see in this first section, as we thought about Newman and Ted as they walked in amongst his sheep, that he wanted to be a part of them, wanted to know them, wanted to make sure they're safe, wanting to make sure that they're growing into who God designed them to be. And that's the heart of a shepherd. As under shepherds, we need to be interacting with people, not as projects. Please don't take that this morning. Those of us in ministry, I don't want you to think that we're looking on as you're just simply a project. No, it is way beyond that. It is not a project, but treating each one as an individual, taking a personal interest in each one, learning to know each other's dreams, goals, skills, motivations, and even irritations, as we thought about Newman as he was looking for things in their lives, well, things that were impacting them, engaging with each other by asking questions. But most of all, we need to genuinely, now put in capital letters, care. We will not be caring if we're simply looking at each other as projects this morning. That's not caring. That's lording. That's organization. Organism is when we genuinely care for each other as a living, breathing soul that God placed here in this earth for a reason and a purpose, because he wants his kingdom to grow. Caring for people with their best interest in mind. What will make them advance for their relationship with Jesus and for eternity? People don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. And that's something I am just working on, asking God to work on in my own life. People won't feel care if they know you only care to know if there's any problems and not caring for them as a person. People won't feel care if they know you only care to know if there's any problems and not caring for them as a person. Next one. Oops, I was getting ahead of myself and pushing the button. Discover the shape of your sheep. So Newman and Ted, they got together again another Saturday. And Ted said, all right, you're coming with me. Or Newman said, you're coming with me. We're going to the auction barn. So they got to the auction barn, and as soon as they stepped out, Ted was he's a college guy. You know, he's in big business. He's not a farmer. He's a city boy, he said. Got out, man, he smelled that awful smell. I've been to an auction barn a few times. There can be some major smells coming from those auction barns. He jumped out, and Newman, the teacher, looked at Ted and said, you got penny loafers on? And Ted, you know what penny loafers are, I guess. I mean, that's back in my day. We call them penny loafers, the little slicky shoes that wear in the office. And Ted was like, what's wrong with my penny loafers? I like these shoes. All right, that's fine. You come with me into the auction barn. They went in, they sat down, and they were auctioning animals. And Ted, he was kind of enthralled, interesting. Man, they were bidding these sheep off and these animals off, and then he was noticing people writing things on the card and keeping track of stuff, and he was wondering what's going on. How do they know what to bid, and why are they bidding on certain ones and not other ones? Why are they keeping track? Numa said, "Come with me. We're going down into below." So they went down below, or behind, or however auction barns were set up, to where all the animals were stored. They walked into some sheep pens there where a bunch of sheep were around. And he said, "Do you know why those people were writing things down on a card?" Because he said, those people had picked out the animals they wanted, and they were watching what they were going for and keeping track, because they know what they want, and they want it at certain prices. So he asked Ted, he said, "What do you see when you see that sheep?" Ted's like, "I mean, they look like sheep. Would you want that sheep?" "Well, yeah, I mean, it looks like a decent sheep." He said, "Do you see more than just that?" He said, "Do you see that sheep are different?" And to Ted's eyes, they all looked the same. They were just simply sheep. But to Newman's eyes, they were sheep that God created with abilities to do certain things and not certain things. There were some good quality sheep there. There were some not so good quality sheep. There were sheep there that maybe had good strengths, maybe good wool. I'm just saying what I was hearing, okay? I'm not a shepherd, so I am only speaking limited here. But I'm guessing those that deal with sheep realize that sheep are made up of different qualities and giftings and abilities, I guess. Let's apply that to God's church. There's one phrase that stuck out as I was listening to that, is that you can't fit a square peg into a round hole. Not everybody is made up the same. We are a church here this morning in God's great big fold of many diverse personalities, characteristics, giftings, and abilities. And we can't just go here and say, we all are going to do everything exactly the same, and we all are going to do all the jobs because we're God's sheep. And we should just be able to fit in wherever we got to fit in. Now, I say that to the fact that, yes, we might have giftings and abilities that we don't know, that have not been on earth yet, that God wants to on earth. But at the same time, we can't fit a square peg into a round hole. And so as they walked amongst that, Ted started realizing that sheep are different. There are some that have extra strengths, better wool, whatever. So we this morning had different abilities. God didn't make us all the same. He designed us for different callings in life, for different purposes. And it's very important for us as under shepherds to be close enough to our sheep to learn as much as we can that God has our sheep here for a purpose. And they're here for a calling, and they're here for a reason. And that we as under shepherds should not be forcing our agendas onto what we think that they have to be. That's why we must be in tune with the great shepherd, saying, "God, why do you have us here? What are you wanting out of us as a local sheepfold right here? What square peg can fit into a square hole? A round peg can fit into a round hole. How are you wanting to maybe mold us and reshape us so we can fit into your callings?" And I believe it's important for us as under shepherds to know each other. You know us. We know you. And we work together in this sheepfold that God has us in, so we can be who God wants us to be. I don't know the story well. I just heard it briefly, and excuse me if I don't have it correct. But I heard a story that there was once a man, and I understood, if I remember correctly, he was a deacon, but then was called to a pastor. And this man was ordained a deacon, and I don't know how long he was a deacon, but he did well. He excelled. He loved it. But it came time for an ordination, and I'm not, I know your calling, and I know your, but anyways, it came time for an ordination, and the church wanted him to become a pastor. And he was called to that. And the man that shared the story said, this man struggled with that for a long, long time. Because it was hard for him. It was a chore for him. It was not something where he could abound in. But they simply went off the voice of the church. And he was spoken into that. Take that for what it may. But as I heard that story, as I was thinking about this part of shepherding and guiding, my mind went back to that story. And the man came to admit that. He said, it's not his gifting. It's not his, even though he was doing it, he was trying to fulfill his calling. It was something that was not a God-given thing for him. And it was a struggle. But as he looked back, he said, I love the work of the deacon. He said, I just was free there. I'm taking that for whatever. I just thought of that as I thought about this thing of knowing there's five things here. We need to know each other's strengths, our abilities, what God gave to us, what we can seem to excel in. We also need heart. What is our passions? What lights us? What are we eager to even maybe learn to do because it's in us and God placed us there? What is our attitude? You can have a strength, you can have heart, but if that attitude, I again go back to Newman and Ted. Newman was sharing a story. He said, I had this sheep. It was a beautiful sheep. He said it was a nice, strong sheep. This sheep was even passionate. I mean, it was just had a lot of zeal and zest in its pasture. And he said it just had a lot of passion in it too. But he said this sheep's attitude was rotten. He said this sheep kept looking across the fence and thinking the grass was beautiful over there. He said, I had awesome grass for this sheep. But its attitude was rotten. It started affecting the other sheep. And this sheep kept trying to dig out and get out. And it started, after a while, some of the other sheep started following the sheep and wanting to get out too and possessing some of the same bad attitude. He said, I had to do something with that sheep. He had strength, he had heart, but his attitude was bad. And I think for us as under-shepherds, are we willing to have the heart? Are we willing to have the strengths? Are we allowing God to work on our attitudes? Are we willing to accept what God has for us if that's where God wants us? Are we willing to be a team player? Are we willing to give it our all? Are we willing to be teachable? We need personality. Some people are introverts. Some people are extroverts. Some people love crowds. Some people, the crowds tire others out. Some people get inspired by being around others. Some people give life. Some people are insightful and easy with words. Some people listen mostly and others can speak quicker. But let's not forget about Moses. He was willing to go where God had called him to go. But it's good to know each other's personalities, how we are made up, so we can work with each other in those callings. Especially for us as under-shepherds, are we able to understand and get a grasp and learn about some of these things? How about experiences? What we've been through? What we go through? Are we merely learning about more knowledge? Are we learning to have our hearts changed? That's why we as under-shepherds, it's so important that we have our own hearts filled with the heart of our Father. Holy Spirit anointed to be able to properly work with our sheep. Things keep moving on here. the heart of the shepherd in this section is, as he wants to, the heart of the shepherd is, he wants to know his sheep, not just know about them. He wants to see them excel and abound, not just survive, exist, and trudge along. He wants to see them be all that God designed them to be. The next one is, help your sheep to identify with you. Excuse me if this keeps getting long. If you need to leave, that's understandable. But help the sheep to identify with you. As Newman brought sheep home to his pasture and his farm there, he very quickly, when he brought them and unloaded them, he put ear tags on them to identify with them. This is my sheep in my farm. Now, please don't take this wrong. I tried to be able to, don't take it that, okay, we have to, you got to identify with me or with Curtis or whoever is ordained. But at the same time, we are imprinting your lives. So anyways, when they brought the sheep home, he told Ted, he said, all right, you grab the sheep and unload it. Well, Ted, a city boy that he is, he quickly grabbed that sheep, and that sheep quickly grabbed him and threw him on the ground. And Ted was looking up at who's flying around him. And, of course, Newman had to chuckle about that a little bit. He said, all right, I want you to take hold of that sheep, and I want you to just be very close and be hold that sheep in place, and then quickly I want you to ear tag this sheep. And Ted was like, no way, that's going to hurt the sheep. That's going to... And Newman said, I want that sheep to be a part of this fold, and I want others to see that this sheep is a part of your fold. Like it or not, as I said before, we, with the responsibility of under-shepherding, are impacting and imprinting your lives. And it is very important for us to imprint God's way. And I'll try to explain that here a little bit. Farmers can't tag the sheep unless they're willing to get up close and personal with that sheep. We are impacting you all as people here this morning, whether we're doing it from a distance, and you'll know that, which isn't healthy, or if we're willing to be personal and close to each one, which you would know that also. This verse here, I chose it. It stood out to me when I read it, but I felt like it kind of gave what I'm trying to say. And he will stand to lead his flock with the Lord's strength. And I underline that. In the majesty of the name of the Lord his God, then his people will live there undisturbed, for he will be highly honored around the world. I don't know what all that verse means, but two things I pick out of that verse is that he will stand and lead in the strength of the Lord. He is fulfilling his calling as under-shepherding the flock in God's strength, with God's ability. But as he does that in a wholesome and healed way, with the heart of the shepherd, the next thing I underline, his people will live there undisturbed. His people will find, sheep will find security, and sheep will find safety, and sheep will be able to rest and feed and nourish well when the under-shepherding is doing it God's way. There's times where we might need to speak into situations that can be hard and painful at times. But when we are leading in with the heart of the shepherd, I believe that can go a long way. We sit here this morning as individuals, yet community together. We are a community. We are a flock of God's sheepfold. and pastor at large. We are a community, but yet as individuals. And we are a community because we are having similar beliefs, values, and goals. As under-shepherds, as we interact with our people, we are imprinting our values and visions into their lives. We are identifying them in a way with us. We should be communicating ours or God's values and God's missions with them. Imprinting our values and visions on their lives as we are identifying them with us. But I added there, because if we're not careful, as we fulfill this responsibility, as we're up here preaching and teaching and interacting, we can subtly start going off trail, off track, and start imprinting our agendas. And so that's why I struggle with this, but yet it is a reality. Are we communicating? Are we interacting? Are we imprinting values and visions that are God's values and visions and missions? Sheep have a need to belong, and God designed us as a people with that desire. But at times, we can wander off. So as under-shepherds, we should be calling our people into what God has us here for, keeping everyone in the flock. Now, obviously, they don't all have to stay here in this specific location, but are they staying in God's flock as a whole? Maybe God is calling them to move on. Maybe God is calling them elsewhere. We bless you as God leads you. But at the same time, are we as under-shepherds carefully communicating and purposefully imprinting God's vision and God's goals on each other's hearts and what He has us here for? And we need to be careful and constantly checking our own hearts. God, am I what I'm doing your heart as the great shepherd? Our hearts and lives as under shepherds should be so in tune and filled with the life of the Father that as we are imprinting on others, that it draws the sheep together and not fragments and sows discord. Drawing them together and to Father God. As you think about a triangle, as we draw each other together, are we drawing towards God and His will and purposes for us? I believe here in this last section here, I believe the heart of the shepherd here is that as under shepherds, we are imprinting the identity of Father God on their lives, not our personal identity, and who they are as His sheep, which we believe and should be our identity also. But as I said, we sometimes can tend to wander as under shepherds, and we need to be in tune with that, and we need your voice on that. But my desire, and I believe us as a ministry and whoever God calls, our desire will be that we are imprinting and identifying us together as God's flock, as His sheep, and who He has called each one of us as individuals and as a group as to what He has us here for. I stress again in closing. Now I use this, I try to think of a picture that us reaching out to Father God and His heart. And that's why I chose this. You and I can't have the heart of the shepherd until you have met the heart of the shepherd. God bless you.